good. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles tonight. And we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 22 is where we're going to start at. We, of course, been studying through the book of Proverbs on our midweek Bible study. And we're studying through it by looking at the people of Proverbs and just kind of going through the book, looking what the Bible has to say about the different groups of people here mentioned. I think there's 36 mentioned. And so that's what we're doing, what we're going through. Last week, we talked about, we looked at the verse where that a woman that feareth the Lord looked at a God-fearing woman. Of course, that principle applies to men and women, just like the principle tonight will. And so even though it's going to say, use the word man, and of course it refers to everybody. So if you find your place, stand with me, please. Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to read one verse, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 10. The Bible says this, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We ask that you'd speak to us through your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. And I pray, God, that we would apply these principles to our lives, Lord. And may we be warned tonight, Lord, to not be what we're going to look at, Lord. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And tonight we're going to look at probably the most infamous person in the book of Proverbs. And there are some ones that are in God's top, if you want to say, most wanted, or should I say unwanted list, and things that God does not want in the lives of his children. And maybe you think the foolish man would be at the top, or maybe the evil man. But if you study what the Bible has to say about this and the end result of this, if I'm ranking them at the top, the number one person you would never want to be known as is a scorner. A scorner. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. The scornful man or the scornful person. That word scorner, it means this. One who holds extreme contempt, to despise, to condemn, to make mouths at. And that's where we're going to see the distinguishing factor of the scorner. To scoff, to mock, have in derision. And a scorner is one who, is he a fool? Yes. Is he an evil man? Yes. But the difference between a fool and an evil man and a scorner is the scornful's not afraid to get vocal about it. And the problem is when they start getting vocal, the God of heaven hears. And by the way, let me just remind us all, God hears everything we say all the time anyway. Amen. Not only does he hear, he sees, he knows our thoughts. And sometimes we get this in our mindset. And I think it's something that Satan wants us to think, that God's so far in heaven and he's so far away and so great. And there's so many people on earth. There's no way God's paying attention to what I do, what I see, what I hear, what I think. Nothing could be further from the truth. Amen. In fact, he reminds us that he knows us so well. He knows how many heads are. He has all of our hairs numbered. He knows when a sparrow falls. I mean, folks, listen, he doesn't just know our thoughts. The Bible says he knows the intents of our heart. God knows us. Amen. God's paying attention. And so don't think for one second that God isn't paying attention. He is paying attention. And so let's look at the scornful man tonight. All right. We're just going to chase the verses through the book of Proverbs. There's not a ton of verses, but there are several. So let's look at them tonight. Okay. Here's the first thing we see. And that's out of the text verse we read. And here's what it says. It says, cast out the scorner. And notice what happens when the scorner disappears. Contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Here's what happens when the scorner is gone. You have no longer have contention, strife, and reproach. You no longer have contention, strife, and reproach. You know, it's amazing to me that sometimes, and by the way, you find this happen in churches, is that a lot of problems sometimes always revolve around the same handful of people. And by the way, folks, listen, if you know, all of us are going to mess up from time to time. Okay, there's been times in my life where, you know, I've messed up and I've had to get rebuked for it. But the difference is that a wise man, and we're going to see this in just a minute, when you rebuke a wise man, the Bible says he'll become wiser. You know what that means? He learns from his mistakes. He doesn't keep repeating them. But when something happens over and over and over again, and there's contention, there's strife and reproach, I can guarantee you this, somebody in that scenario is a scorner. And the Bible tells us that that's what a scornful man will do. He will cause contention, strife, and reproach. Hey, let me just remind you of something, okay? Our God is a God of peace and a God of order. And if there is contention, strife, and reproach, it's not coming from God. Amen. It's coming from the enemy, and a lot of times the enemy is causing our flesh to rise up, and it's a very dangerous thing to be in that position. Hey, how about this? All right, let's not be the problem. All right, part of the problem. Let's be part of the solution. How about that? Amen. Why don't you be the person that instead of causing the problems, you help somebody fix their problem? Right? And I'm going to tell you, this is important because the devil knows how to get in a church, and the devil knows how to get into families, and the devil knows how to do nothing but destroy. I mean, what's the thief come to do? To kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm going to tell you right now, scorning will cause those types of things. What else do we see here? Scorners, go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. Proverbs 9, verse 7, then we're going to go to the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you a profound example of a scorner and what God thought about it. And I know we've probably been there since we've been in the book of Proverbs, but we're going to go there again because we need to look at it. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. Look what it says here. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. It says this, it says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth to himself a blot. I'm going to show you here in just a minute when we close this thing out. There's only two responses you ought to have to a scorner. Okay, and I'm going to show you exactly what the Bible says to do. Here the Bible says that reproving a scorner is going to get shame. Why is that? Because if you try to reprove a scorner will speak against corrective authority. That's what a scorner does, okay? If someone is a scorner and you try to reprove them verbally, you know what's going to happen? Then you're going to get shame because they're not going to listen to that, and it's going to be a shameful thing. I'm not saying there's not maybe necessarily a time that happens, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But listen, what's this telling? It tells us that scorners aren't afraid to speak against corrective authority. Remember, it's about not just the fact that they have this stuff in their heart. They're not afraid to be vocal about it. Amen? Go to Proverbs chapter, or the next verse, 9 verse 8. All right, 9 verse 8. Reprove not a scorner. Notice this, lest he hate thee. And here's what I was talking about earlier. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know the difference between one of the telltale signs of your where you're at on the wisdom meter is how you handle rebuke. How you handle rebuke. I mean, that right there is a sign of how much wisdom you have or don't have. Because let me tell you, I'll just tell you, come on, let's be honest. No, our flesh doesn't like rebuke. There's not one of us that your flesh likes getting rebuked. But you know what? Reproofs are a part of life sometimes. Especially as you're growing, especially as you're learning, especially in the lives of young people. I mean, come on, if you do it right and you get reproved as you're learning, as you're figuring things out, the older you get, the wiser you get, the less and less you should ever have to be rebuked. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes, I don't care, it happens to the best of us, you have to have rebuke in your life. How do you handle it when you get rebuked? That's a telltale sign of how much wisdom you have. But the principle about the scorner is what it says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Why is that? Because scorners hate those that have to reprove them, rebuke them. Why? Because they are very vocal against corrective authority. And then Proverbs chapter 19, verse 28, I'll just read it to you. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Again, notice what it says, an ungodly witness scorneth judgment. He scorns the fact that someone is trying to rebuke him. Let's look at an example of this. Let's go back in our Bibles to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Here's probably one of the biggest examples of a scorner in the whole Bible. In fact, we know it's a big example because it also gets used in the book of James. I believe it's in the book of James. The book of Jude, warning against this sin. Numbers chapter 16. Let's, for sake of time, I could read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to read a couple verses, all right? And again, if you have a heading in your Bible, you know where I'm going with this. Look what it says in verse 1, Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So you know what that tells us? That this group of scorners had some influence. By the way, instead of using their influence for right, they're using their influence for wrong. Verse 3, and they gathered themselves together, notice this, against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. They literally are bringing false accusations against God's appointed authority for no other reason except jealousy. And we read on that as you go through the scripture that they were jealous because they didn't, you know, God, you can see that even in their talk, saying, you know, well, we're holy. Why does God just have to talk through you? Because we're just like you. We're holy just like you are. They're scorning against godly authority. And they go on for that for a little bit until God shows up. By the way, when God showed up, everybody knew God showed up. Because look what happened, all right? Go down to verse 20, all right? And a whole lot was said in between them. And but down in verse 20, it says, and the Lord spake unto them. I'm sorry, that's actually to the congregation. Let's back it up to verse 15, all right? Verse 15. And it says this, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer and put incense in him, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also Aaron, each of you his censer. Basically what he was saying is this. He's saying, look, you know what? Go ahead and do what you think is what you're saying is right. Go ahead and bring that censer, and let's just see what God has to say about it. And then, if you will, flip over to verse 31. And it came to pass, they did all that. They all gathered together. As he had made an end of speaking all these words, here it is, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened up, opened her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their house, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and to all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Whoa. I think God was making a statement about what he thinks about scorners standing up against his authority. Amen. By the way, this whole thing about, you know, authority, God's the one that came up with that. God's the one that established that. Listen, folks, there has to be a chain of command. Okay, there has to be a head to everything. All right, I've told you this before, but here's what my pastor taught me, and it's true. Anything with two heads is a monstrosity, okay? And if you want things to function properly, follow God's plan of leadership. God has it set up, what it's supposed to be. He has it for the home. He has it for government. He has it for the church. He has it for every institution, what the chain of authority needs to be. And listen, when we rebel against that and we start scorning against that, you better watch out. Okay, God is not happy about it. Okay, so that's what the scorners do. They speak against corrective authority. Now, folks, again, I'm not saying if somebody's not doing something right that there's not a way to handle that. Okay, remember this: only God has absolute authority. Remember that. Okay, man doesn't have absolute authority. That's why the Bible says that when the apostle said we must obey God rather than men, that's not just talking about an oppressive government regime. That means that anybody that would try to dictate to you something opposite of what God says or the Bible says, God has ultimate authority, not man. Okay, so that being said, if somebody is stepping out of line, it's not wrong, I mean, to talk to somebody and do it in the right way, okay? But just to open your mouth and start criticizing, all right, and start downing godly authority just because you don't like something, that's dangerous ground. By the way, the Bible tells us how to handle problems. You go to a person privately, talk to them about it, not get scornful, get other people involved, and cause an uprising against godly authority. And that's what scorners do, and God doesn't like it. Amen? All right, back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Notice what he says here, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Here's what else we see about a scorner. And this right here kind of gives you insight into their motivation here, okay? Not only are they doing these things, not only are they vocal about these things, look what Proverbs 1:22 says. Okay, it says this. It says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Look at this phrase. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. You know what a scorner does? He delights in the fact that he's scorning. He finds pleasure in it. It's not something that I messed up and I said something I shouldn't have said, and Lord, I'm sorry, I'll get right. No, to him, listen, That's what he finds his thrill doing is scorning. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's dangerous business when we start finding delight in doing things that the Bible tells us not to do. Dangerous business. Amen. And by the way, it goes back to what we said last week. If you fear the Lord, then you know what? You're going to be scared of that. And you're going to have a godly fear in your life, not delighting in it. By the way, again, that's something that is, if you're not careful, the devil's so slick at how he gets in. I mean, look, again, telltale sign, all right? We're looking at different signs, different meters of where we're at on the wisdom scale, okay? Look, I don't know about you, but when I do something I shouldn't do, the Holy Spirit eats me alive, okay? Here's what we used to say, all right? That's a good phrase, okay? He rips my face off, all right? We always used to say that about good Bible preaching. Man, that's a face ripper, amen? It rips your face off. Me and one of the guys, when we were in high school, we used to say that about good preaching, right? But no, the Holy Spirit, man, he brings conviction in your heart. He works in tandem with your conscience. There's guilt. There's conviction. I mean, listen, folks, somebody that is right with the Lord, when you do something you shouldn't do, you know what? Through the rebuke of the Holy Spirit, you get right. You don't delight in it. It's not a game. By the way, I would be very suspicious of someone that they can get by, or not, they don't get by with it, but in their mind, they do it thinking they get by with it and delighting in it. Listen, that right there tells you where their heart's at. And the Bible says, listen, you delight in your scorning? Okay, then there's a major heart problem going on. Amen? And so that's what a scorner will do. He will delight in scorning. And then we see this, Proverbs 29, verse 8. Go there, Proverbs 29, verse 8. And that's what's so diabolical about the fact that he delights in it, is the fact that scorning, and here's what we're going to see, hurts other people. Okay, look what it says, Proverbs 29, verse 8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turneth away wrath. Okay, what that's saying is this, people that scorn, they bring damage to other people. Okay, it hurts other people. And you know what? They delight in it. Okay, they think it's funny. They think it's a game. I mean, guaranteed, you want just a little bit of scorning, just turn on some mainstream news media. And you'll get some scorning real quick. Okay? And they delight in that. I mean, literally people in recent days, you know, laughing and mocking at people that are trying to stand for right, that are trying to stand for things that are true, just laughing. They're a bunch of stinking wicked scorners. By the way, God hears that, and you know, as much as I don't take delight in saying this, but they're going to get what's coming to them. And they need to repent. That's what we want this lost world to do. I'm going to tell you, a lot of those people, they're reprobate. And they're not going to repent because they've been given over to reprobate mind. And the only inroad to that is judgment. Amen, is judgment. But scorning hurts other people. Now look, the world's going to do what it's going to do. But as God's people, listen, folks, you shouldn't want to hurt somebody with how you say and what you talk about other people and take delight in all that. I mean, can a saved person be a scorner? Yes, I've known a lot of them. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you in just a minute. I keep getting ahead of myself. The end result of scorning is not a pleasant end. Okay? And so that's what scorning does. It hurts other people. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. We've already been there, but we'll see what happens here in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Another characteristic of a scorner, and we kind of already alluded to this based upon what we talked about there about speaking against corrective authority. But here we see it again, where a scorner will not listen to correction. Okay, they cannot be corrected. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Proverbs 13:1. I'll read it to you. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner, listen to this, heareth not rebuke. Okay, you could maybe verbalize it, but listen, it's going in one ear and out the other, because they're not listening to it. Okay, they hear not rebuke. Again, folks, it's so important that if you are rebuked through preaching, through the word of God, through maybe a personal rebuke by somebody, listen, don't get your dander up about that, okay? Don't get emotional about that. Stop and think and consider if what's being said is something that it needs to be dealt with in your life. And by the way, if the Word of God is rebuking you, yes, you need to deal with it in your life. Amen? I understand sometimes people you know, act weird with each other about stuff, and you know, you actually have to examine motives and that type of thing. But I'm going to tell you, if the Word of God rebukes us, then you know what? Take the rebuke and take it as a way that God is trying to tell us He loves us, and accept it, and don't turn a deaf ear to it like the scorner will do. And then Proverbs 15:12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Did you hear that? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. I mean, as we're reading these verses, are you kind of getting the idea that there's really not a lot of hope for a scorner? Now, there's, as long as you're alive and you're willing to humble yourself and, you know, you can repent. But the problem is, when you've gone this so far down the line, your heart's so hardened, and you know what? It's not going to usually humble itself. And then we see this, Proverbs 21, verse 24. Proverbs 21, verse 24. Surprise, surprise, what sin is right in the middle of, or related to a scorner. Look what it says, Proverbs 21, 24. I want you to see this one. Okay, here it is. You ready? Let's just read this verse together. All right, it's good for us to read a few out loud. Here we go. You ready? Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Twice, really three times in that verse, pride is alluded to and mentioned. Twice, particularly the words are used, and then the word haughty, basically the same thing. Three times, the word pride is related to a scorner. Surprise, surprise, pride right in the middle of it. By the way, pride is usually the key root to almost any sin that you find in your life, amen, that we deal with. But no, the consequence of the scornful man is that he's full of wrath because he's filled with pride. Listen, folks, pride is such a thing that we got to deal with constantly on a daily basis. We got to kill it, not just once a day, multiple times a day. Don't let pride rise up in your life. It's going to lead to a lot of bad stuff, particularly being a scorner. A scorner. And then here's what we see here. All right. Now we're going to kind of get into the last little bit. But I want you to see this, the end result, and then how we're to handle people that are scorners. OK, go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Now this is something that where God gets involved. All right. Proverbs, just like he did in Numbers 13 with Korah, God stepped in and God said, you know what? You're crossing the line. You crossed the line. You ain't crossing with me. All right. And God stepped in. And look what we see. I'm sorry. Number 16. I said 13. Look what it says here. Proverbs 3:34. OK, notice this. Surely he, talking about God, scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lonely. Okay, now listen, folks, okay, if God is scorning you, that's a bad thing, okay? But you know what? God literally has to take off the kid gloves and fight fire with fire here. Okay, and by the way, anybody that gets in a match of wills with God is losing, okay? You are not going to win a fight against God, okay? Now, just because God doesn't zap you with lightning every time you do something doesn't mean he's letting you get by with it. Maybe he's showing you a little bit of mercy, a little bit of grace until you get to the point, you know, the goodness of God leads to repentance. I mean, listen, folks, when somebody, God has to judge, no one's ever going to accuse God of not being fair, not being right, not being gracious, not being merciful. In fact, he sometimes, the Bible says he's long-suffering. But I'm going to tell you, though, you mess with him, especially as a scorner, he's bringing it right back to you. Amen. In fact, let me show you something. Back in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Okay, talking about wisdom here, okay? And of course, wisdom is the antithesis of someone who is filled with scorning and with pride and with foolishness and all this stuff. But I want you to notice this. Look at verse 20. And again, this just shows us the wisdom and mercy of God. Or I'm sorry, the grace and mercy of God. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. In the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So wisdom here is being offered to these groups of people. Fools, to scorners, and to those that hate knowledge. Okay? I mean, it's being offered to that. Those that are simple, those that are scorning, those that are foolish. Notice what wisdom says in verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That's what God wants. He wants for people to be wise. God takes no pleasure in simple and people that are simple and the scorners and the foolish. God doesn't take pleasure in that. That's not what he wants. He offers wisdom. It's available. Okay, but look at verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, and I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. You know what God's saying? Look, I've done these things in your life because I love you. I'm trying to pull you to myself. I'm offering you wisdom. I've extended it. I've cried out for it, but you refused it. And look what happens. Verse 26. One of those 20 verses, right? Looking at the wrong one. Okay? But ye have said it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh on you, then shall they call unto me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Wow. I'm going to tell you, it's dangerous to keep blowing God off, or we could say this in the church age, quenching and grieving the Spirit of God. Dangerous business. But here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a day where you need God really bad. And you've rejected wisdom so long. You've mocked at it. You scorned at it. You know what God's going to do when you call? Laugh. That's what your Bible says. How about nobody ever preaches about that? You can push God so far and you can reject him so long that when you need him, instead of helping you, he's going to laugh and mock at you. That's what your Bible says. I think this thing of the fear of the Lord ought to really settle in our hearts a little bit more. Amen? Everybody wants to paint God as this big grandpa in the sky and, you know, lovey-dovey Jesus. Now, again, does he love us? Yes, he does. But you know what he does show? Tough love. And he's not afraid to rebuke. Hey, he wasn't afraid to open the earth and swallow whole families up and send them alive down in the pit. You want to mess with them? You want to trifle with his mercy? God help us. I don't. Amen. Listen, healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. Amen. We need to hear about this side of God from time to time, don't we? Now, I'm glad he's long-suffering and merciful. He is. And praise God that his mercy is everlasting. We can read about that whole chapter in the book of Psalms where every verse ends with mercy endureth forever. Thank God for that. But you push him too far, he's going to scorn at you. Man, I don't want to see that side of God. So here's how you handle a scorner, okay? Two things the Bible tells you to do, all right? We're going to look at this and we're done. Proverbs 19. When someone has identified themselves as a scorner, by the way, folks, listen again. Be very slow to judge some of this stuff, okay? Not everybody that makes a mistake, not everybody that says something stupid is a scorner. I've said some stupid things in my life, okay? But it's a repetitive pattern here, okay? And you got to understand that, okay? We got to be slow to judge, amen. But are we supposed to judge? Yes. Judge not, really, okay? I don't even know. Need to go there again. I say it all the time, right? No, we are supposed to judge, but we're supposed to judge righteous judgment. Jesus said in the book of John. Okay, here's what you do. Proverbs 19:25. When someone has clearly been identified as a scorner, not because of one or two things, but of habitual scornful behavior. Here's what you're supposed to do. Proverbs 19:25. Okay, Proverbs 19:25. Here's what it says. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Here's what the Bible tells you to do. Smite him. Now, listen, I'm not saying go around punching people, okay? Okay, you're going to get in trouble if you do that. All right? And I don't think literally, you know, we're laying hands on people here, okay? But what he's saying is that it's something so strong, okay, that they understand that, no, we're not putting up with this. Now, maybe in the Bible days, you know, if a scorner was in Solomon's presence, he had the power to smite him, okay? Okay, don't go around punching people, slapping people, laying your hands on people. Don't do that, Don't say, oh, Pastor Riper said we could do it. Amen. The book of Proverbs sanctions it. Okay. No, it doesn't. All right. No, but what he's saying, you know what? Truth be told, and I know what the verses we read earlier about rebuking the scorner, okay? But truth be told, the way you would smite a scorner in our day and age is with words or with actions, as far as you know what? You know, you have to tell somebody, look, you know what? You're a scorner. I'm just not going to be around you. That's smiting, a form of smiting, okay? What he's saying here is this, okay? You've got to show some strong response to a scorner, okay? Not this, oh, brother, we love you anyway. No, some strong stuff. Okay? By the way, sometimes as a pastor, you have to get strong with some people about things. You know why? Because I love this church. Okay? And I'm going to protect this church. I was talking to somebody the other day, and not that I take any pride in saying this, but and most of the church doesn't know this, but through the last 8 years, there's been a handful of people that I've had to make a phone call and said, you ain't coming back to this church. You walk through that door, I'm having you trespass. You know why? Because I'm watching out for the sheep. Okay? You got to smite the scorner. Okay? And then notice what else you see here. Okay? And this goes right along with smiting. This is the next part of it. Proverbs 22, verse 10. I know this is an unpopular subject. I know that this is something that most pastors wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Okay? But folks, we need sometimes to have good warnings from the Word of God. Okay? Look what he says, verse 10. Once he's smitten, then here's what you do. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Cast them out. You're out of here, Jack. Okay? I mean, I know it's hard. It's hard sometimes to distinguish, you know, this being done. But when someone identifies himself with habitual behavior as a scorner, and they've been smitten, and they don't repent, cast them out. I saw an illustration of this one time. When I was a youth pastor, we used to bring all kinds of kids to church. And there was some kids that came, and it didn't just happen one time. They would habitually, after several weeks, were you know, kind of mocking during the service and all that. People tried, hey, be quiet, don't do that. Try to love on them a little bit. But they kept doing it. So you know what? The pastor, in the middle of the service, these boys were mocking. He says, you two, stand up right now. He's like, walk out of there, and you go in the back, and you're not going to sit here and mock and disrupt the service. Walk out right now. That's called smiting the scorner and casting them out. But you know what? That's what they needed. Because they had no fear of God, and they were trying. They had been tried to been helped and tried to been, you know, lightly rebuked, and they wouldn't handle it. So you know what? You smite them, you cast them out. That's what the Bible says to do. Okay? And so, folks, listen. All this to say tonight, I don't believe we have any scorners in this room. I don't believe that at all. But this is a message of warning that we never get to that point. Because let's be honest, as long as we're living in this flesh, we could. And not just you. I mean, I could become that. Any of us could become that. Listen, there's not one sin in the Bible that your flesh and my flesh isn't capable of. Don't ever forget that. By the time we think we're all, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Spiritual and everything, what's the Bible say? Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. No, we got to walk with the help of God, the presence of God, with the power of God in our life, because we're all, truth be told, one decision away from disaster. All of us are. So listen, folks, use this as a warning. Hey, let the Word of God rebuke you when it needs it. Let it warn you, okay? And just obey it. Amen? Just obey it. So let's not ever be like a scorner. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the Word. Thank you for the truth of it, God. And Lord, not necessarily a popular subject, Lord, but it's truth. And I pray that you'd help us to take this, apply it to our life. Lord, help us never, ever, ever to be scornful people. Help us to be humble people. Lord, help us to be people that love you. And Lord, are all the positive traits that we need to be, Lord. So we just want to say we love you and we thank you for it. I pray that you bless our prayer time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a few minutes and go to prayer.